Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of the Tinker Talks podcast. I'm Clayton Cummins in for Mark. Mark is busy, so happy to step in for him. Now, if you're listening, you may not notice anything different, but if you're watching, you certainly do. You may be looking behind me and think, that's not Tinker Air Force Base. Well, you are correct. We are not at Tinker Air Force Base. We are on the northwest side of Oklahoma City. The podcast team and I here with Civil Air Patrol. We're talking to Colonel David McCollum, the commander of the Civil Air Patrol, the Oklahoma Wing. Sir, it is a pleasure to see you once again.
It's good to be here. Thank you, Clayton.
Some people may not know it, but we've actually crossed paths.
That we have.
In a past life when I worked in the TV news business.
Yep, you did. And I was in the media relations business, and it was always good seeing you on a story because we knew we were going to get great coverage.
Yeah, of course. You expected nothing less.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Hey, it's a small world. Don't burn bridges. You never know who
That's right.
you're going to see down the road. But hey, it's nice to see you. We're talking Civil Air Patrol today.
We are.
Before we do, we do want to learn a little bit more about you, Colonel McCollum. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get involved in Civil Air Patrol?
Well, to go back a little further, I actually grew up in Oklahoma.
Okay.
I grew up in Ada, went to OU, a long story that I won't share. It's too long for this broadcast. but I went to OU and was Air Force ROTC at OU, Det 675, the Flying Schooners. And I left Oklahoma right after I graduated. And I took a very circuitous path back, came home about 11 years ago. I joined CAP as a result of the Steve Fawcett search when he went mm-hmm. missing. Civil Air Patrol was very involved in the search for his missing aircraft. And I had been thinking for a long time about joining what is the Air Force Auxiliary. And that was the impetus for me to find a unit near where I was living in Houston at the time. And I did, and that was 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And one of my mentors, Air Force and CAP mentors, told me, you need to learn how to say no, or this organization will eat you alive. And obviously, I have not learned how to say no, because I'm now the wing commander of the Oklahoma Wing.
Yes, you are.
So it's a great responsibility, and it's a great honor to lead about 850 volunteers in Oklahoma.
I find a lot of people that are in aviation, you know, it's in your blood, right? You
Very much so.
Have an automatic attraction to,
right.
You know, runways, aircraft, et cetera. That doesn't ever escape you, does it?
It never does. It never does. And that's one of the really cool things we get to do in CAP is we take our cadets up, and our cadets are age 12 to 18. We take them up on what we call orientation flights, and it's to expose them to aviation. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many times I've taken a young cadet up in the air, and you watch them light up as they actually handle the controls and see them get bit by the same bug that I got bit with just a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's really fun to share that love of aviation, all things aviation. With our young people. And, you know, there's a pilot shortage that's going on now in the Air Force, in the airlines, with corporate aviation. And we're working to do our part to help alleviate that shortage.
Civil Air Patrol, or CAP, totally reserve, right?
We're all volunteers, with a very few exceptions. Here in Oklahoma, we have about 850. And that's split pretty evenly between adults and cadets, the youth. We have units in 19 different locations. We have 9 aircraft in the wing. Two of them are based here in Oklahoma City at this airport. The one behind you here is a Cessna 182. Mm-hmm. It's a $1 million airplane, the way that we have it equipped. And the Air Force buys those airplanes for us. So they loan them to us. We take good care of them. We fly the wings off of them. Here in Oklahoma, we flew about 1,500 hours last year.
Wow.
The goal for each airframe is 150 hours per year. The Air Force pays for the maintenance. Depending on what kind of mission we're on, either the Air Force pays for that, or the organization, CAP Corporate, will pay for that. So we function as the Air Force's auxiliary when we are on an Air Force assigned mission. We do things for the state and we do things for our local communities.
It's really peaceful out here at Sundance.
That it is.
I like it. Occasionally you may hear a plane fly over. It's just, it's all part of the ambiance.
It is. It is. And we are very aware that our planes are very distinctive. They're red, white, and blue. Mm-hmm. They say United States Air Force Auxiliary. They say CAP on the top and bottom of the wings. And we are very aware that we're representing the Air Force. So when we taxi out of here, people will ask us, hey, what is CAP?
Yeah.
What's it all about? And we like to share that. And we go to fly-ins across the state. The other wings, each state is a wing. So there are 52 wings in, mm-hmm. in CAP. But with each wing, we'll go out and fly the flag, so to speak. We go to air shows and fly-ins. We're going to be at the big air show at Tinker. We were at the Altus air show last month. We were at the Vance. The last time Vance had an air show was their 75th anniversary, about 8 years ago. So we go out and we show the flag, and we actually do more than that for the show at Tinker, which is always fun for our people, even though it's hot. But we'll have about 160 volunteers work in the air show. We'll have two aircraft on static display, an aircraft just like this, and then a 172, which is a little bit smaller. And then we have a third aircraft that actually flies and does photo documentation of the crowds and the traffic flow that we provide to the air show committee and the air show director, so that they can help for planning the show a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of worked it into my next question. My next question was, you know, what is the Civil Air Patrol for somebody who is unfamiliar with it? And yes, you do help out the base quite a bit with those aerial shots, and thank you for that.
You bet.
yeah, so talk a little bit about what Civil Air Patrol is for someone who may not
sure.
be familiar with it, or
sure.
CAP.
Be happy to. We have three basic programs. One is cadet programs, which we discussed a little bit, but the idea there is to expose our cadets to the potential of a military career, if not something military, at least something aviation related, and if not aviation related, then something STEM related. That's the focus there. And in fact, our cadets can gain their private pilot certificate totally at the Air Force's expense. That's fairly new. I think that program's only been in effect for about 5 years where they can do that. And then we also have a scholarship program for our youth called the WINGS program, which again is funded by the Air Force. But if there aren't enough Civil Air Patrol instructor pilots around, they can go to a local flight school and the Air Force, through CAP, pays their bill, so to speak, for all of their flight training. Then we have aerospace education, and AE can take many different forms, anything from formal education regarding flying, whether it's the Wright brothers and all they did, mm-hmm. or Amelia Earhart and everything she did, through, we have a very robust small unmanned aerial system program, and there are what we call STEM kits. There are about 32 of those. And you can take one of those and build it and play with it, use it. Each one of those kits illustrates something fundamental to STEM. And they can get another one. Once that one's built, all they have to do is fill out an evaluation of what they did with that kit, and they can get another one. And then we have emergency services. And in Oklahoma, ES, a lot of the time revolves around storm season. You know, we have a pretty robust and active spring, and then there's the second season that we have in the late fall. Last year, we flew 86 hours in support of NOAA and FEMA doing storm damage assessment. And what we do is we have several different photo imagery devices. One is at your typical DSLR, mm-hmm. That we can stick out the photographic window of this aircraft. Mm-hmm. Another tool we have is called Waldo. And Waldo is a 3D imaging device that we strap on one of the struts, and we fly a very specific pattern. And that unit is able to assess structural integrity, if there were an overpass or an earthen dam where some of that earth had been moved because of flooding or whatever, it can calculate how much cubic feet of soil would be required to restabilize.
Wow.
It's a very useful tool, and FEMA is, they love us for that. It's the unit itself is not very expensive. It's only about $50,000. It's the data processing where the real cost comes in. So those are our three main programs. And I would say that the most rewarding is all of them, because there are things that each of our volunteers may have. They may do like what you did in the real world, where you were a journalist. Mm-hmm. They may be a journalist or a public affairs person in the real world, but they want to do something different to give back to their community. So we have all of these programs where they can give back to their community, state, and nation.
Is there a disaster or a response or something like that working with Civil Air Patrol that kind of sticks in your mind?
Oh yeah, Hurricane Harvey would be a big one, but here in Oklahoma, the Moore tornado was 20 years ago?
Of 13?
That was a massive response effort. We had ground teams. A lot of our ground teams were going in and they were photo documenting addresses so that FEMA knew how to allocate resources to rebuild, and that was a massive effort. Hurricane Harvey, it was a regional response. The incident command post that we were working from started out in the San Antonio area and then moved back down into the Houston area as things cleaned up and power was restored. But there were hundreds of thousands of images that were collected for Harvey and provided to FEMA and the state of Texas to help rebuild.
Wow.
Those things, when you do those things, whether you're in the aircraft as part of the air crew or you're part of the mission staff on the ground, it's so rewarding to be able to give back to your local communities. I can't even describe the feeling you get. It's just it's why we do what we do, I guess. And a former national commander used to call that signing the volunteer paycheck, so that they know that what they're doing and what they train for is worthwhile doing and training for.
It's one thing seeing that level of destruction on the ground, but it hits different in the air, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. I guess it's been about 8 or 9 years ago now, when we had massive flooding down in the southern part of the state. And even just recently, I flew down over Lake Texoma. It's incredible the amount of water that's down there. And you can't imagine it until you see it from the air. I mean, seeing it from the ground is, you get this limited perspective, but from the air, it's so widespread. It's just incredible.
For parents listening to this, students listening to this, looking for their next career, they think they might have the aviation bug in them as well. Why is Civil Air Patrol one of the best ways to get exposure to aviation?
Well, it's an outstanding way to learn a little bit about the military, and of course being the Air Force Auxiliary, we steer people towards the Air Force. You get that little bit of exposure about drill and physical fitness, and our cadets have to, as they advance in rank, they are tested on aerospace education. So they learn about the pioneers of flight. They have to pass a physical test, so physical fitness is stressed. And then you go through a board, a promotion board, that asks kind of offhanded questions that the cadets have to be prepared to answer. So it teaches them to think on their feet as well. Mm-hmm. All of those things are, especially the thinking on your feet, are very important when you get in the cockpit of an airplane, because it doesn't always go just the way you planned it. So you have to be prepared to handle emergencies, you have to train for those, and you got to remember to stay calm under stress. All of those programs help develop that. The other cool thing, in my opinion, about our cadet program is if a young person joins, they are expected to promote, or they can promote, about every 57 to 59 days. Mm-hmm. It takes about 2 years to go from Airman Basic to Cadet Second Lieutenant, and that award is called the Mitchell Award. It's named after General Billy Mitchell, who was an Air Force icon. And if they achieve their Mitchell Award and they decide they want to enlist in the military, they go in as an E3 as opposed to an E1. So they get a few extra $100 in their pay envelope every month, and that's pretty significant as a young person. They also, if they achieve their Mitchell, if they are going to apply for an ROTC scholarship or they want to go to one of the academies, at most universities, there's a drop down that says, okay, were you a member of Civil Air Patrol? And if you answer yes, it says, did you achieve your Mitchell Award? And if you say yes, that opens the door to a whole lot of other, you know, possibilities. Mm-hmm. About 10% of the entering class at the Air Force Academy every year are former CAP cadets. Right now, I'm really pleased to say that we have two of our former, well, they're still our cadets. They will soon be our former cadets. They'll be entering the Air Force Academy this fall as part of the class of 27, I think it is. But it shows that they can finish something that they've started. They know how to lead because we give them more and more leadership responsibilities as they progress through the program. So it's all about developing the next generation of Air Force leaders, civic leaders.
Yeah.
It's a great program, and not a lot of people know about it.
I see this as like an extracurricular activity at school. Mm-hmm. I was in the broadcast club, did a little bit of sprinting. Are you guys involved in schools locally as well?
Yeah, we are. In fact, we have, we call it a flight, but the Oklahoma Aviation Academy down is part of the Norman Public Schools. We have a school unit there, and they meet, and they call it period zero, their first period in the morning. They come in a little early, and they wear the same uniforms that our cadets do. They have a color guard. In fact, they are about to stand up and become their own squadron. So they have really come along. They were established about a year and a half ago. And, you know, the Governor Stitt has an emphasis on aviation as the economic sector in the state, wants that to be number one. We're right there with him. We're all about it. So anything we can do to help. We have a flight academy in the summer for cadets. And that's not just Oklahoma Wing cadets. We hold it in Ada in June. It's a week-long deal. Last year, there were 20 students there from around the country. There were three from Oklahoma. Of the 20, 16 of them soloed. That's a pretty amazing percentage.
And even if you're not interested in flying, is this a good way to get involved, like if I want to become an air traffic controller?
Yep.
A good
yep.
way to get exposed to the industry
exactly.
a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right. I happen to feel that it's a good thing for air traffic controllers to at least have flown in an airplane to see what it's like. We ask them, they get five rides in the aircraft where they are actually handling the controls. And we ask that they at least give it a shot, and they may not be interested in becoming pilots, but at least they see what it's like up there. And We take the student, you know, we're really lucky here. We've got the Monroney Center here and the Flight Controllers Academy. OU does, they're one of the, I think there's only four universities in the country that their ATC school, their graduates don't have to go to the academy. They go immediately to a tower for their on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. I think it's important that our cadets see that side of it as well. So we take them to the TRACON here at Oklahoma City. We had a pilot clinic at Tinker that included some of our cadet pilots, and we took everybody up in the control tower. They see what it takes, and it's I think it's very helpful for controllers and pilots to understand what the other side is going through.
Mm-hmm. You did talk about how Civil Air Patrol supports the state of Oklahoma, supports Tinker, but you know there are opportunities outside of Oklahoma as well.
Right.
Civil Air Patrol helps the Air Force on a national level.
We do.
Talk a bit about that.
So we provide several things, mainly with the aircraft. And I'm going to use Oklahoma as an example for what we do across the country.
Okay.
The 138th Fighter Wing in Tulsa, Oklahoma National Guard, they fly the Viper F-16s, and they deploy down to Ellington Air Force Base in Houston, and they stand watch down there. And to best of my knowledge, they have not allowed anybody from Texas over the Red River. They're doing a great job. But a lot of what they do, and this has been in the news recently regarding Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort, where there's We call it a TFR, a temporary flight restriction. When he is there, there is a temporary flight restriction over Mar-a-Lago. And sometimes private pilots in particular don't pay attention to the latest TFRs, and they'll go blundering in there, and then always gets them a visit from the Air Force while they're in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes practice for fighter pilots to be able to fly slow enough to not just go ripping by those GA aircraft. So we've been working with the 138th and their F-16s to help the newer pilots understand what it takes to do low and slow intercepts of aircraft like this Cessna 182 sitting behind us. It takes a lot of practice for them to do. So we provide that. We do low-level route surveys. And again, I'm gonna use Oklahoma as an example because we have two training bases here in the state, Vance Air Force Base and Altus Air Force Base, and they both have low-level training routes out of the base. Well, if you're flying a T-6-2 or a T-38 out of Vance and you're ripping around low-level, you don't have a lot of time to be looking for obstructions. Yeah. Same thing down at Altus. If you're flying a C-17 and you're doing these low-level training routes at several hundred knots, you don't always see something until it's like, uh-oh, what was that we just hit? So we perform low-level route surveys across the country for Air Force bases, making sure that there are no uncharted obstructions for the training routes as our new pilots are being trained and our experienced pilots are maintaining their proficiency. We also provide, and we do this at Tinker in particular, but I know it also happens at other places. I mentioned earlier we have a very robust small unmanned aerial system program. We work with Tinker and we use our drones to try and penetrate the airspace. So we give security forces a good workout.
Ah, sure.
They're chomping at the bit to shoot one of ours down. And
have they?
We tell them, no, we need those. It's great training for security forces and for our people so that they can operate in close proximity when required.
Yeah, so not just aircraft, drones too.
Yep. And the drones, so to be an air crew member, you have to be 18. To be a drone operator for us, there is no age limit. So the cadets can do that, and they do. We have several cadets who are, you know, they have their Part 107 license from the FAA, and then they're certified with us as well to operate the drones.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the Civil Air Patrol, their core values. Mm. Integrity, mm-hmm. volunteer service, you mm-hmm. talked a little bit about excellence and respect. Why are those core values so important? It's pretty obvious, but.
Yeah, it is. And they're based off the Air Force's core values. And in fact, I like the way the Air Force puts it better when they say integrity first. If you have integrity, and of course there's that kind of cliche definition of integrity and doing the right thing when nobody's looking. In our world today, integrity seems to be kind of a rare gem, if you will. And we try and instill integrity in all of our members. And that means doing the right thing all the time, whether it's treating people with respect, and that goes to our respect core value. Mm-hmm. And personally, I like to think that if you have integrity, the rest of it falls into line, right? Yeah. So integrity means doing what you are expected to do. Cleaning an aircraft after you land, treating cadets with respect, cadets treating each other with respect. You know, it's the world has changed from the days of the stereotypical drill instructor getting in your face and screaming at you until you cried. It's a little bit different these days. Mm-hmm. And we don't tolerate hazing, not just adult members hazing cadets, but cadets hazing each other. That's counterproductive to what we do. And again, it goes to that signing the volunteer's paycheck. When you do things with integrity, with respect, volunteer service, you know, and the Air Force puts its service before self, that's what our whole organization is based on. That's why we exist, is to serve others. Not everybody is cut out for CAP. Not everybody's cut out to serve in the military.
And that's okay.
It is okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to understand, if you sign up to serve with us, there are expectations, and the expectations include that you're going to serve in an honorable fashion and you're going to put others before yourself. I've been asked by a cadet, actually, about what it's like to be the wing commander. And I'd never thought of that before. But the answer is, and I think Colonel Rossetto would appreciate this, because I see a lot of things that she does that I emulate. When she's out meeting with the troops, she's always smiling, right? It's always that praise in public part, and you're building up the morale, and you're showing that the boss cares. Mm-hmm. So I told this cadet, I take it very seriously that I represent 850 of you, and I get all the bouquets from higher up when you do well, mm-hmm. which is why I always pass that along about how proud I am and what a great job you're doing. And by the same token, I also get the rockets when things are going off the rails a little bit. Well, I don't share that with everybody. That's behind closed doors, and we work on doing things better. We are a volunteer organization, and not everybody understands the expectations. So that's my job through my staff and my intent to help them learn that. And mm-hmm. then if they still don't want to do it, okay, thanks for showing up.
Yep.
See you next time.
Yep. So if there are people out there listening to this, whether you're a student, whether you're an adult with a full-time working job, that, you know, CAP is starting to check all the boxes here, are pretty interested mm-hmm. in joining, what are the steps to do so?
So the first thing to do is find a local unit. And you do that by going to gocivilairpatrol.com, and there is a unit locator on there. And there's also an FAQ section about how to join as an adult, what it takes to be a pilot, parents, FAQs for prospective cadets. We do things a little bit differently between adult members and cadet members. Each unit follows the same steps every week, in that, say, the first week of the month would be what they call Blues Night, when they're wearing service dress. Those are promotions, awards, kind of a job well done, way to go team. And they may do aerospace education that night as well, because it doesn't require a physical activity. Then there'll be a PT night where they show up in PT gear and they do physical training. And then there'll be an ES night where they're working on certain qualifications for emergency services. And in those nights, we still wear air battle uniforms. OCPs are coming, I've been told, probably around Christmas.
Okay.
So we're gonna look a lot more like our brothers and sisters in the Air Force. One of our requirements is that our uniforms be distinctive. And sometimes people, and especially when we were all wearing ABUs, and we would have cadets on the flight line at the air show, one of the things I always stressed was, you need to be professional, because the public can't tell the difference between you and the regular Air Force. Mm-hmm. So you need to be aware that we're representing Mother Blue and act accordingly. And we have never had an issue with any of our cadets at the air show, any of our cadets in public. They're just an amazing group of young men and women. So you go to gocivilairpatrol.com, you find a unit, you go visit, and we have a process for adults where you have to be fingerprinted, you pass a background check.
Okay.
A lot of that is cadet protection oriented. We're very protective of our cadets, and it's a very predator-filled world out there.
Yeah.
So we're very protective of our cadets. Cadets, again, they are required to attend 3 meetings before they apply, and assuming that the membership board, because they will each does meet with the membership board of the local unit, and assuming that everybody's good to go, you're in, and you start the process right there. There are 5 different levels of what we used to call professional development. It's the equivalent of PME. And for an adult to promote and to gain some privileges, you have to go through some of those levels. Level 5 is the highest, and the number of adult members that attain level 5 and get their Gilrob Wilson Award, who was one of the founders of CAP, it's not very many. So it's just one of those things that, depending on how much time you have to give, how motivated you are, mm-hmm. You know, we'll have some parents who come in and they only want to work with the cadets as long as their children are members, and that's fine. We have others who come in and they have children, but they don't want to work with the cadets because they do that at home. And that's also fine. There's a place for everybody. You know, you find your niche and you excel at it.
Yeah. You know, you've had a long and in my opinion, prosperous career in aviation. Uh-huh. If you could do something over, what would you do? Or is there something that you've, you know, if you could tell yourself however many years ago, you know, learn that lesson.
Yeah.
What is that? That could benefit people.
There were two decisions I made in my life that I tend to look back on and say, how different would things have been? One of which is I turned down an appointment to the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
And again, it's a long story. My best friend and I from ADA both wanted to go to the Academy and fly fighters. He was a year older than I, and he was accepted. He was appointed, went. And back then, I'm going to give away some of my age, there was no email, there were no cell phones. So he comes home at Christmas, and they had discovered a brain tumor. And it manifested kind of like a stroke. One side of his face sagged. He would slur some of his words. It was obvious we were never going to get to fly together. He didn't even know he was going to get to go back to the academy and continue his studies. So we agonized over it the month he was home, and my appointment letter came, and I decided to turn it down because I told him I can't look at you up there and see you and know that we're never going to be able to do this together. So I fast forward to about 9 years ago, and the then installation commander Tinker was then Colonel Kenyon Bell. And Colonel Bell is an Academy graduate, as is Colonel Rashada. And Colonel Bell had only assumed command of the wing about 2 weeks before the air show at the time. And he came to me at one point and he said, D-Mac, tell me your story. And I did. And he said, you know, you would have made a fine career officer. I have no doubt of that. But you would not be in the position you are today to influence positively the next generation of Air Force leaders. I needed to hear that at that time. And the other was back in the mid to late 80s, I was offered a job flying for United Airlines. I was married at the time, and my then wife foot stomped, no, you'll be gone way too much. And if I'd been able to look a couple of years in the future and see how drastically things would have changed, I'd be about ready to retire from the airlines and would have been a lifetime bus driver for United.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't live your life looking over your shoulder and saying woulda, shoulda, coulda. Mm-hmm. So I think we are all brought to where we are for a reason. And I think Colonel Bell, now General Bell, was onto something when he said, I'm where I need to be.
Well, I'm certainly where I need to be. It was really nice to see you again, learn more about the Civil Air Patrol. What an awesome program. What an awesome guy leading the program. I mean, really, it's an aviation enthusiast's dream, this program.
Yeah, it is. And it's really so very rewarding knowing that you're helping develop our next generation of leaders and that you're giving something back to our local communities and our state and our nation. And, you know, it's only been a few years since we were recognized as a member of the total force, and they changed. We used to report to the Air Education Training Command. Now we report to Air Combat Command.
Okay.
And First Air Force is our daddy. And, you know, we don't fly fighters, but we contribute to everything the Air Force does.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Colonel David McCollum, Oklahoma Wing Commander of Civil Air Patrol. Hey, it was a pleasure to
always
sit
good
down
to
and
see
chat
you,
with
Clayton.
You today. It was the ambiance, I think, for me.
It's hard to go wrong in an airport.
It is. It sure is. All right. Hey, want to thank you so much for being our guest on this episode of the podcast, the Tinker Talks podcast, that is. Two shameless plugs before we wrap this up. The first one, social media. If you haven't followed Tinker Air Force Base on your favorite social media platform, now is the time to do it. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, you name it, we're on it. We would be on MySpace if we could.
Understand.
We would. And then the second shameless plug, don't forget the Tinker Air Show is back for the year 2025, June 28th and 29th. If you haven't made plans yet for the air show, come on down. It's an absolute blast. Although very warm.
It'll be warm.
Be sure to water, sunscreen, hearing protection if you are coming down for the air show. We really hope to see you there. It's a good time. I know Colonel McCollum's going to be there.
Absolutely. We'll be there with bells on, and it'll be a great show. Thunderbirds are going to rock the house.
They usually do.
They do.
All right. Hey, want to thank you so much for watching this episode of Tinker Talks Podcasts. thank you so much. We'll see you on the next episode. And until then, stay safe. Bye-bye.